Cool Vintage Watches is a Parkville shop that sells antiques, taxidermied animals, LPs, and obviously, cool vintage watches. Owner John Putnam has been selling old-school time-telling devices with secondhands and all for 25 years. Until recently, it was just a mail-order business. He opened the brick-and-mortar store 2 years ago, and he says that even though our computers and phones tell us the time most everywhere we go, there's still lots of interest in watches.
Watches now are more about personality and style. I mean, because, yeah, you have your cell phone. You can look at the time any time of day you want. But with a vintage watch or even some of the higher-end watches today, it's all about personality and style and ego and things like that.
Watches are about more than telling time these days. I'm Gina Kaufman at 10:33 o'clock and 52 seconds, and you're listening to Central Standard. We're kicking off our conversation about the future of wearable technology and time-telling with an especially close look at new smart devices designed to be worn on our wrists, like the old-timey wristwatch with some serious updates. Shortly, we'll meet a watchmaker who's been servicing older timepieces like the kind in John Putnam's store. But first, the wearable technology of the future. Here in the studio, I'm joined by Amy Nouri, who works at Garmin, headquartered right here in Olathe. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
It's also my pleasure to welcome Christina Bonnington to the show. She's a writer for Wired magazine. She tries out and reviews all kinds of wearable technology. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
So, Amy, let's start with you. First off, the wristwatch. In olden times, by which I mean 10 or 20 years ago, a typical watch just told the time. If it was fancy, it might have had a timer or a calculator. What are some of the newest wrist-worn technologies coming out of Garmin?
Well, we really have a full line of purpose-built wearables. So, whether you're a hiker or a runner or you play golf, there's something for everyone. The thing with the watches now are that we're adding smart features to make them more versatile. Features like receiving smart notifications, the things that you would get on your phone, live track, where people can follow in real time, stuff like that.
So has the ease of telling time in a world filled with digital devices pushed Garmin to innovate in this arena? Because another option would be, in theory, to bid a fond farewell to the old wristwatch and send it the way of the rotary phone.
Yeah, you know, I think that watches are kind of a fashion piece, too. So they really, you know, they haven't gone out of style. People like having it on their wrist. There's also, with some of our sport watches, there's also the factor of if you're on a run, your phone isn't weatherproof and your watch is, you know, with water resistance, durability, battery life. So everything kind of plays a factor into why you would want a watch over utilizing your phone.
Christina, is the watch making a comeback in general?
So there's always been people who have worn, you know, vintage wristwatches, very expensive wristwatches, and those people are going to continue to wear those devices. But I think, yeah, for a lot of the generation that grew up without, you know, relying on a watch so much because they had a cell phone or a smartphone growing up and into their adulthood, they're starting to put things on their wrists now. And there's kind of two areas that kind of split off here, and one is smartwatches that kind of fuse the traditional wristwatch idea with a bunch of smart features that you get on your smartphone, notifications, calendar alerts, things like that. And then there's also kind of the accessory device, which for a lot of people is a fitness tracker. So it tracks your steps, your calories, your sleep and things like that.
What about wearable technology in general? The wrist is, you know, just one part of our body that we can cover in technology. What other kinds of things are you seeing?
Yeah, so wearables are cropping up all over the place. I know Nike has a tracker that you put in your shoe, and so it can track different athletic stats based on what your feet are doing. There are some wearables that you just you can strap onto your shirt or your belt loop or bra strap, and they track your activity that way. There's also you know, headsets, glasses, Google Glass, things that go on your face and allow you kind of maybe even a slight virtual reality experience, overlaying maps or other information onto what your eyes are viewing. And then, of course, we've got the wrist. There are some, I think some people are trying to explore rings, but, you know, size is a bit of a problem, yeah. You know, getting all those chips that small.
Even the wrist can be a bit of a problem. I mean, I don't mean to be diminutive about women, but personally, I've got a small wrist.
I do too. And so that's an issue I have with a lot of the smartwatches that are out right now, is that this, some of them that have touch screens on them have very large screens, maybe like, you know, 1.5 inches square or so. And, for me, that it just hurts my hands. But there are a lot of other devices, such as Garmin's actually, that have a more slim form factor and an elongated display that isn't quite as chunky on your wrist.
Any predictions about new kinds of functionality for watches and wearable technology in the near future? Things we're not seeing yet, but that based on what's coming across your desk, you think we will be seeing soon?
So right now, what a lot of these devices are doing is just tracking your activities, tracking your fitness, what you do each day. But they're not providing a lot of value on top of just aggregating all this data. So what we're going to see in the future is devices and apps utilizing this data so that it's actionable, so that you can improve your life, whether it's you want to improve your sleep or whether you want to be more active throughout your day. It's going to be able to use the patterns that it's learning from your daily activities to help you improve your life. And so that's going to be really cool when we start seeing that happen.
So like it notices you're not getting enough sleep and sings you a lullaby or something?
Yeah. So there's a bunch of different services doing little pieces of the puzzle. So what it might learn is that, okay, so every day you have a tendency to have, when you have coffee at 3 p.m., you know, as a pick-me-up in the afternoon, your sleep isn't so good. So it might learn that, you know, based on your input from your foods in an app like MyFitnessPal and then your sleep patterns from your Fitbit, it's going to learn, hey, you know what? Whenever you drink that coffee, you sleep terribly. Why don't you try replacing that with a glass of water instead? Or why don't you try doing a little bit of yoga and deep breathing before you go to bed to relax your mind? Because I noticed you had 6 meetings today and are really stressed out.
And when you say I, that's your watch.
Yes.
So this is all kind of exciting in a Jetsons kind of way, just in terms of what we can create and how easily we can access and track information. But are there dangers and concerns associated with these kinds of technologies too?
You know, there are. The concerns kind of vary from person to person, but there is some concern in that, you know, these devices are tracking or can be tracking your location all the time if they're GPS enabled, you know, but, you know, our smartphones do that as well. So it's just kind of another device that is, you know, keeping track of your whereabouts all the time. It's possible that tracking your heart rate data, your heart rate and your health and movement data, you know, I think some people are worried that insurance companies may get a hold of that and could use that against you in the future. You know, oh, we see that, you know, for the past 5 years, you haven't been very active. We're going to hike up your rates because you're more likely to suffer from heart disease or diabetes in the future, or something like that.
Well, so most of us do feel fine about a device that tells us the time and temperature around us. But what about devices that keep track of the biological information within us? Call 816-235-2888 to talk about your comfort level with wearable technology. Our guests can also answer your questions about the future of wearable technology. That number again, 816-235-2888. While you're dialing, let's head back to that watch shop in Parkville. Cool Vintage Watches sells all kinds of vintage wearable technology. Suzanne Hogan met a watchmaker there who's been fixing watches for 55 years.
Jim Summers doesn't even know how many wristwatches he owns. Safe answer? A lot. Today he's wearing a 1970 Seiko Skin Divers watch. It looks industrial and has a black band.
I can show you the comparison between the old and the new.
Summers shows me two wristwatches laid out on top of a display case at Cool Vintage Watches in historic Parkville. The first, a newer watch made in China.
This is a modern-day quartz watch. the movement, as you can see, stamped out plates, no jewels, very, very poorly made. Satisfies the need and lasts a satisfactory period of time, then you throw it away and get you another one.
The other is an old railroad watch that's about 100 years old.
This was designed to last forever.
It has 200 different parts, a balance wheel, springs, gears. All of these things are part of the movement or mechanism of the watch. Summers knows about all of them.
There's much more to it than just a timepiece. It's like a mechanical art form.
And this art form of repairing old watches is becoming a dying art. There's still some watchmaking schools out there, but Summers is the type of watchmaker whose skills have been fueled by a lifetime passion and curiosity about time-telling devices.
I was 10 years old. And my dad introduced me to a watchmaker. I was intrigued by what he was doing, and so he allowed me to sit down next to him and watch him. And the next thing, he hands me a movement, says, here, take this apart, and we'll see. And of course, I would break things when I went to put it back together. And he said, now we'll fix what you just broke. And then that's how you proceed. Pretty soon, you learn that I don't like fixing these things I break, so you learn not to break them.
Summers is now 65, and he says that watchmakers have a certain personality type. They can easily get in the zone, have a certain dexterity and patience to spend hours and hours with delicate parts and tools to bring old watches back to life. But he thinks that all types of people, beyond watch enthusiasts like himself, have an appreciation for the devices. They're nostalgic, useful, and a way to show your personality.
Watches are somewhat of a status symbol. You buy a really nice watch and, you know, so that people flash it.
What are you doing?
Flash it so people can see, you know, that they notice your watch. You see what I mean? They notice your watch and see what you're wearing, and then it kind of puts you on a social level.
Summers is intrigued by new high-end watches, smartwatches that are coming out, and what people will be putting on their wrists in the future. But for now, his favorites are still the old watches made before the 70s. Summers is retired now and really only fixes watches for friends, which he thinks is a good thing.
Because, in other words, you can just fix them forever because there's so much demand for it. And like I say, there's so few people doing it, so it's pretty much endless.
He says there are only so many hours in a day, and nobody is more painfully aware of that fact than, well, a watchmaker. He's spending those minutes and hours of retirement with grandkids, riding his motorcycle, and of course, continuing to get together with other watch enthusiasts.
It's hard to understand unless you get involved in it, but I've never met anybody that was exposed to this that didn't become addicted to it.
That was Jim Summers talking with Suzanne Hogan, but don't go looking for him to repair your watch. He insists he's retired. Central Standard is off to a short break. When we return, we'll talk to you and our guests about the future of the watch and other wearables. Do you still wear a watch? Do you remember when you stopped? 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. And we're back. Christina Bonington of Wired Magazine, welcome back to Central Standard.
Hey.
And Amy Nouri of Garmin, hello again.
Hello.
So we were just hearing about the sort of the changing role of the wristwatch, that it's about so much more than telling time. Amy, at Garmin, you mentioned that the fashion accessory piece of the puzzle was a significant one. How do those discussions play out in this high-tech world that there's also like a fashion piece of this?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really looking at the functionality and, you know, like Christina said, there are different wrist sizes and how it's going to fit on the wrist. So with something like a daily activity tracker, you're asking people to wear that 24/7 for it to be the most effective. So you have to look at, you know, it needs to be lightweight, thin, comfortable, something that people are going to be able to put on and keep on.
It has to work with evening wear to the
yeah.
gym.
Yeah. So with our Vivo Fit, you know, it has interchangeable bands. You can switch out the color. It has 1 year battery life, so you're not constantly taking off. Water resistance. These are all things that play into what the design should be. And then when you look at other watches, for example, a running watch, that will have a larger screen so you can see more data. One of our hiking watches, the Phoenix 2, has a more rugged look.
What is a hiking watch? Why do you need a – I understand why you need
special
boots to hike.
It's an ABC watch. So when you're going out and the GPS, and it also has multi-sport functionality as well. So it's really for kind of an outdoorsy athlete.
But what does it do that makes it particularly adapted to the outdoors?
Well, it has a barometric altimeter, 50 hours of battery life. So when you're out there, you can get things like weather and your GPS signal, things like that.
So set the scene for me in Garmin. You know, I'm imagining all these sort of high-tech computer engineers, electrical people, and also people who are talking about things like how sleek and slender and the nice fit on your wrist. Can you set the scene for me in these negotiations? Tell me what it's like there when these things are being discussed. It's a lot of different considerations.
Yes, there are a lot of different considerations. And I think that's one of the challenges, really, when you're looking at design, because there are limitations. If you need long battery life, that's going to affect the size of something. So it's really going through what features are most important to the user and how we can incorporate that into the design.
Christina was telling us about that some people are trying ring watches. Has Garmin tried anything like that? Tried watches that would go somewhere other than the wrist?
We don't have anything lined up. Really, we have the wrist watches, and that's probably the best spot to have one. One of the things with the data on your wrist, it's so accessible to you. You can see it. When you're hiding it somewhere else on your body, it would probably be easy to forget about looking at the data, and you'd have to access it a different way. So the wrist kind of cuts out that extra step.
Christina Bonington, what are some things, just of all the stuff you've tried, has anything stood out to you as really cutting edge that you could walk us through, like an experience with a piece of wearable technology that you think could change your whole world?
Let's see. So one of the ones that I checked out most recently was the Microsoft Band. And it was really cool because it has like an elongated screen that goes across your wrist. It's worn on the wrist. It also has a heart rate monitor built in. But on board, it had some really cool features that I thought kind of stood out from a lot of other smartwatches and wearables. One thing it had was... in conjunction with its mobile app, you can download workouts. And so on your wrist, you can get guided workouts. So you get it has a timer on there, so it knows how long you're doing each of your sets. It tells you what move to do next. It keeps track of how many repetitions of each move that you've done, or say for interval workouts for running or cycling, it can do that as well.
That's really interesting.
Tell you when to walk and jog and pick up the pace and slow down.
Yeah, because that sounds like a lot of the problem that a lot of people have with individual workouts is that there's no one there to hold you to it and keep you accountable, and that your watch could become that instructor almost.
Right, exactly. And so you can download either an individual workout or a set of workouts. Couch to 5K was one that I checked out, but there are others to choose from as well. So no matter what kind of workout you're looking for or how you're trying to get fit, there were options and guidance right there on your wrist.
It's probably not surprising, but still maybe worth noting that it sounds like so much of the technology we're talking about making wearable is technology having to do with health and fitness. Is there anything else that people are obsessed with tracking, or does this say something about that what we want to know about is ourselves?
So health and fitness tracking is one major component of wearables right now. It's kind of hard to say where it can go in the future. I know one aspect that some wearables, especially focused at the female market, is about safety. It's maybe it's something a lot more limited in features. It looks a lot more like jewelry, but it's more of like a safety button. If you find yourself in a situation that's unsafe, a discreet jewel is actually a button on this bracelet you're wearing, and you can tap it, and friends or family are notified that you need a phone call right now. It can send out your GPS location so they know where you are to come pick you up or something like that. So safety is one area besides fitness that these could be expanding. And then just kind of, like with Google Glass and augmented reality, just kind of overlaying information over our world. So you know, maybe you are hiking in a national park and, you know, you get this view of, you know, notable landmarks around you that you may not otherwise have known just looking at a guide map.
Just to jump in, I do think that right now there is people are very hyper aware about their personal fitness. A lot of studies that people are doing are showing just the culture that we've kind of grown up in, very sedentary lifestyle, the health risks associated with that. So people, I think, are really looking for things to help correct that. With activity trackers like our VivoFit or VivoSmart, they incorporate a move bar to remind you when you've been sitting too long to get up and move. So these are things, people are looking for things that can help them correct bad habits and create a healthier lifestyle.
How does research play into what Garmin decides there's a market for or to create a market?
Well, I think that, you know, we have been developing wearables for over a decade now. So it's really kind of before wearables was a buzzword. And there's a real dedication at Garmin to helping people reach health and fitness goals. The daily activity tracker really kind of wraps in the full picture. I think people became more aware and more studies were coming out that even if you do work out 1 hour a day, if you then sit all the other hours of the day, you're completely negating the work that you did. So tracking your daily activity really brings in your overall picture of health and wellness. It's something that was a natural progression for us. We were already a part of people's workouts. Now we're a part of keeping them moving during the day.
Christina, is this idea that, you know, now we have all of these devices that can tell us the time, and there's this one way of viewing that, which up until recently in the popular imagination, I think, has been why wear a watch, let it go, goodbye. But that it's actually been this that has freed the watch of one obligation and opened up all these other possibilities. Is that a lesson in terms of just what we think has become outmoded or irrelevant and how to think about that differently, maybe?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think it's just kind of an evolution in technology. We kind of circle back to things that we've forgotten about in the past. You know, let's see. So let's say you know, the TV. It remained, you know, pretty unchanged for a long time, and then, you know, we went back to it, and now a lot of TVs are internet connected. They have smart capabilities. Some of them you can have like a 3D tracker, like a Kinect that connects with your TV, so it can detect your movements. You know, the watch was something that was left unchanged for decades, and you know, we had smartphones and tablets and all these other devices, and finally we came back to them and said, "Huh, you know what? That's a good place for more information. We can display information on the wrist. We can do more than just show the time." And Garmin is one company that's been doing this for a long time in the sport and fitness space. But people realize that even people that aren't athletic, that aren't so interested in tracking, you know, intense fitness stats, you know, they could benefit from having information on their wrist as well.
These things, all these technologies come to your desk. Have you found yourself imagining something you wish existed that no one's shown you yet? Like your own inventions, your dream inventions?
Oh, man. You know, just probably, you know, a dream wearable is something that just kind of melts away. It does what it's supposed to do without even, you know, noticing that it's there.
Amy, what about you?
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm surprised so often by what's coming out that I can't really think of what I need until they tell me that I need it.
I think a lot of us have that experience. Well, that's all the time we have for today's conversations. Amy Nouri of Garmin, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And Christina Bonnington of Wired Magazine, have fun trying out whatever technology's on your agenda today.
Will do. Thanks so much.
To listen back to this conversation about wearable technology or our breakdown of the grand jury process, go to kcur.org/centralstandard later today. Tomorrow, Small Business Saturday was followed by Cyber Monday, which in turn was followed by Giving Tuesday. A lot of talk this time of year has to do with giving to charity. But what if you need the help those charities provide? How do you know when and how to ask for help? Tomorrow on Central Standard. Our show is produced by Sylvia Maria Gross and Matthew Long Middleton. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stick around for Up to Date next.